96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday. Monday, June. Is June 4th? Is it ready? It is June 4th. It's June 4th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about Bahamians. Actually, I'm excited about this conversation today as I have an historian. A chronicler. Of Bahamian stories. You had to create that word. Chronicler of Bahamian stories. I have Miss Barbara Wilson with me, right? And Barbara Wilson is the host of Bahamian Heritage Series, which features videos and biographies of Bahamians. And I happened to come across one, two, three, four of her series, a docu-series, and I said, hey, I want to do that. I want someone to interview my stepfather, my mom, and tell their story. That story is important. And I think that as we celebrate the Bahamian 50th anniversary of being independent, we are a collection of stories, right? The story of the Bahamian man, the Bahamian woman are so important globally, and so it's significant. I said that, thank God we have one like Barbara Wilson, who is actually took up that mantle to say the record. So I brought her on to see how did she come about this concept? What is this concept about? And why are Bahamians clamoring to get her attention to record their stories? Their stories of their Grammy, their granny, you know, their grandpa, papa, who is at that age, that 78-year-old, that 310 age, where they say, hey, mommy, we know you got to tell us, write down all the history and stories of our lineage, right? Right? And especially when there is a time where Bahamians are craving to know who they are. They want to know where they came from whence they came, and in order to go to know where they are going. So I invited Miss Barbara Wilson on the radio, just so if we can understand what is it that she's trying to do, why she's doing this, and why she thinks such is important. But before we do all of that, I want her to physically introduce herself, right? And then explain how did she take up, how and why did she take up this mantle to do this, what she's doing.
Good morning, CA, and good morning, Bahamas. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm Barbara Wilson, as he mentioned. I am a professional nurse by profession, but I currently work in pharmaceutical sales. I have never been trained to do any of this stuff, and I'm happy that he mentioned that I am not a historian, because I am not a historian. In fact, I believe that what I do is going to make the job of a historian a lot easier in the future. I started this after my parents, both parents died, especially after my mother died. She was the first one to go. And it dawned on me, there was a void, there was a hole, there was a blank. She no longer existed. And all of a sudden, after I was over 50 years old, and I thought, you know, I don't know enough about my mother. And this is what started the whole thing. I wanted to know more about who she was, who were her family members, everything about her childhood, and these are stories that she did tell me. Fortunately, I did record some of her life before she died, and I was so happy that I'd done that. You know, everybody, as they get older, often think back on their life and they think, boy, I need to write a book. I need to write a book about my story. And most people never do. In fact, she started a black and white book and a little green spiral back book that she started to write her story in. And of course, it never came to fruition. And I'm trying to put that together right now. But I did an interview with her. She was on an age. And in fact, I think it was less than a year before she died. And I asked her about her family, who her father was, who her mother was, her grandmother, her great-grandparents, where she grew up. And I have that. And I was so happy that I did it. And I felt like, you know, if more people did this, they'll have memories and they'll also have a history that you won't have to now go and have to drag up, because you would have heard it from the person. And you can actually see her in the video. So it's like something we play every year around her birthday or around the date of her death, just as a memorial to her. And I did the same thing to my father. He was actually bedridden and actually starting to get dementia when I went ahead and did his as well. So I have both. And after she died, I wished I had asked her more. I wished I had found out more details. And then I started visiting the property that she grew up on. And I don't know why, but I just felt this sense. I visited the National Art Gallery one day, and I went behind the building, and I looked down into the dirt yard that she grew up in. And I just felt this, like I needed to know more, you know? Mm-hmm. And because I, like I told you, I'm not a historian. I was in science all my life. I'm a nurse. I dealt in medicine. I was not interested in nobody's history. I do find, though, that as you get older, you do want to know, who am I? Where did I come from? This kind of thing. And when your parents are no longer here, that it came over me almost like I just got into motions. And I started to ask my family members, her sister, who is now over 80, two brothers who are both in their 90s, and then my aunt who lives in California, she's in her 90s as well. So I did interviews with all of them. And I learned so much more. And I felt almost like I lived during that era. You know, I would go in Hospital Lane now, and I did a video called Just Below the Villa Doyle, which is the yard that she lived in. And I remember her telling me stories back in the day where, you know, they were dirt poor. They would look up to this ostentatious building owned by the rich, white, wealthy people, and they would see them dance in the night and have their, you know, and I could just visualize all of that. And my aunt actually went with me in Hospital Lane and told me the stories about that area that they lived. And it kind of took me back in time. So it started from there, really. And it was easy to get family members to be in, to interview. What I do find is that sometimes there's a little hesitancy. You know, everybody's family has stories that you don't really want to tell. And I always tell them, just leave that part out. You know, we don't need to know that. Some people don't care. They'll tell you all their business. But the next person who I did one with was my boss, Mr. Godfrey Thomas. He owns Nassau Agencies Limited. He was born in 1948 in the Bahamas. His mother is a Malone from Abaco. His father was not Bahamian, but he told me stories that, I mean, his video recording was actually one of the most fascinating ones to me. You know, we have a very small populations of whites in the Bahamas. So, and there's so many things about them that we don't realize. So anybody's interested in knowing a little about his history, Mr. Godfrey Thomas, I did his as well, and he's a talker. I mean, I probably would have been there until now. He talks a lot, and he was open and honest with me about his upbringing, his childhood, and he told me things that I would have never guessed about the way he grew up.
So, Ms. Wilson, people seek you out now. You have now become a viral, an internet sensation. People say, hey, let's call this Wilson lady, and so she could chronicle my father's, my mother's, my auntie, my old auntie story, right? What do they say when they call you? What is it that they're looking for?
Well, most of them have elderly parents or family members that they want me to record their stories about. Like I said, most people will never write a book. So they want to have something that they can look at afterward to say, if you know, once the person passes, we now have a history of our family. I recently did one for a church member of mine. She asked me to interview her. He was the only living sibling of her mother, I think it was. And her mother had passed. And she was so sorry that she didn't have anything for her. But she asked me, could I do her uncle? So they want to know, and it actually helps them to get, just like me, talking to my aunts and uncles helped me to get more information about my mother. So she wanted to know more about her mother and about his family, you know, growing up. And in every single instance, you find out things that you would have never known. And now you can have that to keep, you know, forever without having to write a book.
So do you have any challenges or concerns with attempting to interview the elderly. Okay, let me say this, right? My stepfather had an interest in life. Mm-hmm. He traveled around the world on a contract, at least the United States on a contract, work two or three tours, right? Mm-hmm. Being a civil servant in terms of Ministry of Works, so the police force, Ministry of Health, which were three different government agencies. Mm-hmm. Turn of the century, the recession, and so on. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to interviewing him, mm-hmm. right? When it comes to interviewing him and having his story recorded, he's timid. You don't get no information. I was asking, what you would know about that for? Right? You know, he'll tell you the story, mm-hmm. right? But to record him, you won't get him to record. How did you able to overcome that with these family members?
Actually, that hasn't been a major problem for me with the persons that I interviewed. Most of them, well, my family communicates well. A lot of them, because they felt comfortable with me, was willing to open up. There have been interviews where persons answered me in monosyllables. Sometimes you just have to find ways of getting them relaxed so that they can just tell the story as it is. You know, you ask them pertinent questions. And for me, you know, I had a lot of people saying to me, why don't you interview this person or that person, talking about well-known, affluent people in society? That is not my goal. My goal is to have family histories recorded of the average everyday Joe Blow. It doesn't have to be somebody who was a parliamentarian or someone who got a law degree or someone who has, you know, a lot of money. Just anyone who is willing to talk about their family history. And I find that most elderly people want to leave a legacy. And most of them know that once they pass on, what they didn't say, you probably would never know. So it hasn't been a major problem, except there are a few that may not talk as much, and you have to kind of get it out of them or ask them the kinds of questions, open-ended questions, that they would elaborate on. Otherwise, you would just get yes, no, or, you know. The interview I did with one of my uncles is like that. It's his personality. He doesn't say much. And of course, a lot of people don't remember much, especially as they get older. You know, I mean, I'm not that old. I'm 62, and I feel sometimes like I can't remember what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. My sister and I actually already did our history. She and I sat down one day and recorded ourselves talking about our childhood. We grew up in Monka Alley off Camp Road and in a wooden house in the beginning, and then Daddy built a house. Well, Mommy and Daddy got together and built a house behind it. So we started off in Camp Road. We talked about living in Camp Road, who our neighbors were, where we went to school, how we walked from school, you know, and then we moved to Stapleton Gardens. And we have all of that recorded. So our children can now see. We talked about our parents and our grandparents, and we included photographs. That's the other thing. A lot of people don't have pictures from years ago. But if they have photographs, I include that in the video as well, so that you have not just a verbal story, but you also have photographs of elderly people and the old days, how they looked, you know, maybe if they had a house that they had a picture of. And if they don't have photographs, I try to get them to tell you verbally what the area was like. In addition to family history, I want to know more about the Bahamas back then. And that usually I'll ask them about that.
Ms. Wilson, you're now a professional. This is something that you do where people seek you out and pay you monies and fees to say, well, let's produce something. You produce a high quality.
Actually, there's no charge. I do this free of charge.
You do this free?
Yes.
All those things.
I've never collected a single penny for doing it.
Oh, see, I like free, you know. I from Akron. I was trying to say, we like free.
It became a passion for me. And so I do it in my spare time. Maybe one of these days, you know, I might, you know, after I retire and I need to live, maybe to buy something to eat, I may charge something for it. But for now, in order to encourage people to do it, because it really doesn't take me that long, maybe an hour at the most, of course, the most tedious thing is putting the video together.
Yes, because you put good work.
I narrate it and I put music in it and I add the photographs, and sometimes that could take hours. But because I like doing it and because I didn't want to discourage anyone, I decided I would start doing them. You know, I start off free.
No, so there's and no I understand. Charge. Yeah. There are times you have to do things free in order to start charging later on. So, hey, that's what. Mm-hmm. But I want you to give advice to persons who want to do some of this on their own. right? You mentioned some pictures. Mm-hmm. You mentioned recording yourselves. You mm-hmm. mentioned that. But how would you recommend, say, well, start from this spot and this can continue the narrative in billing?
Yeah, well, the other thing you mentioned, well, you talked about sometimes people don't want to talk to a stranger, but they'll talk to a family member. I interviewed Belinda Wilson's father, mm-hmm. and when I went to the house, I couldn't talk to him. He was asleep, and they didn't want to wake him. So his daughter got her phone out, mm-hmm. and she just asked him some questions, Belinda's sister, and he talked, and she forwarded the video to me, and then I put it together with a voiceover, and I fixed it up for her and sent it back to her. So, I mean, persons can actually use whatever means they have, their phone, a camera, and just record an elderly person talking about their life story. And they often do. Very often, we just don't record it. We hear it, but we never record it.
Now that you on live radio, Guardian Radio, and you know everybody listens to 96.9, right? Mm-hmm. I can't have you doing things for free, because any minute that you're inundated by so many people saying, but since it's for free, right?
Well, I could only do one at a time, right?
Right? So you're saying that people can contact you.
Yes.
With their own videos. And for a nominal fee, see, I put the money there. you can string it together mm-hmm. and narrate it for it to become a professional mm-hmm. document or a professional video mm-hmm. that they can use as a legacy for their family, that you said?
Yes. And in fact, the family islands is an ideal way to do, because obviously I live in Nassau, and I've had persons on the family islands ask me, well, can you come to, well, I don't normally travel to those islands. So I keep telling them what you can do. And one person did do it. Mm-hmm. She sent me videos and photographs and information, and I just pieced it all together and put some music to it, and I sent it back to her, and she was really happy with that. So if you're not able to be interviewed by me, you can interview your own family member. You can send it to me. I can fix it up. You could give
for
me
a fee. Yes, yes. Okay. But I see we have a call here. Right. Producer, patch the call there, please. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. How can I help you today?
I'm glad it is talking away so long with you and your guest, Nuri.
Yeah, Barbara Wilson is her name today. How you doing?
Say it again?
Barbara Wilson.
Yes, Ms. Barbara Wilson, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. Raymond Darling Ferguson here. Well, I want to say to you first, Mr. Nuri, I'm an Auckland born, my parents, my grandparents, and we never like free things. We don't believe in people throwing things back in our face. So don't say all people like free things.
I like free things.
And my brothers, sisters, the same way. We don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. But what I want, Ms. Wilson, you answered a couple of my questions, right? But what I want to know, right, you said that you could do a story within an hour?
Usually the interview time takes about anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour based on how talkative the person is and how much information they can remember or have to give. Once they do the interview.
So let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. When you gonna start charging? I'm not saying that, you know, I want to accept the free amount, you know.
But, you know, I said I didn't charge, but I never said that I would refuse a donation or I would refuse money. So okay. If somebody wanted to pay me, I would gladly accept it because, you know, I didn't mention this, but I have aired some of them on TV. And it
what
does cost me
what
to
you,
do
what
that.
You say, Judy?
She shows some of the movies
I've
on TV.
I've aired some of the interviews on live TV. And
okay.
and so and that does cost me. So and that did come out of my pocket. So
let me ask you something. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. I got what you say. Does you put it in a book form?
No, I don't.
Well, you don't put it in the book form.
No, that's the purpose of the video. I mean, why would you put it in a book if you could just watch the video? People don't read nowadays, you know.
Some people.
Most people don't read.
I got you, but you know, according to technology, sometimes you make things which could go in a video and stuff like that, but after a while, it's no use. The player or something go wrong, and they don't build those type of apparatus anymore after a while, and then there are no use. I have a lot of situation as such right now today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to say about 20, 30, 40 years, the best thing to do is to have it done in, within a bunk.
That sounds very good, but it is not my plan. I have no interest in creating a book. See, I always like the easy way out.
Okay.
I believe that for me, technology is where it's going to be at. And even if technology changes in terms of how the formats are, those formats can be changed. You know, you can. They've actually taken old videos from decades ago and now produce them for lifetime TV and movie theaters. So you would be able to, and not only that, creating a book would take a lot more time and a lot more money.
I got you.
Thank you very much, Kermit. Go ahead.
So look here, if somebody want to start, you know, want to have an interview, say about in a week or so, they have plenty that they can remember, right? How long you think it would take you to do that, and what's the hours?
It depends on, well, I generally operate on the weekends, which is, you know, because I work full time, or on holidays. So
that man, that person would have to have basically a couple of months with you then.
But I'm quite flexible. I mean, usually the person, I try to get them done quickly. So usually there's no long waiting period. And I usually work with the person. If they insist that they can't do it on a weekend or holiday, I would even do it in the evenings after
work. At your house or their house?
It does. If either one is fine with me.
I got you. Mm-hmm. And you have a number or something?
We can give all that out at the end, Raymond.
Okay, thank you.
Stay tuned, but I appreciate all the questions. Thank you very much.
All right.
Producer Patrick, next caller through. Let's get as many callers through as possible. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Good morning, CA.
Good morning. How are you?
And good morning to Ms. Barbara. This is Jackie.
Hey, good morning, Jackie.
Good, wonderful, Ms. Barbara. I want to thank you for what you're doing with our family reunion group and our interview. And I want to applaud her for that great work. And I think that more families should be encouraged to do the same, especially when a number of our family members, the older ones, are dying out or having health challenges. It's important that we just get the information initially, because you can always go to a book later on if they wish to have it so. But definitely the approach of doing the videos is definitely a plus.
Yes.
And keep up the great work, and especially even as we mark the manner of our bearing in the 50th year.
Yes.
We need to do more and more and more of this, because it tells us in our interview exactly who we are, whose we are, what kind of values, what kind of things that helped us to be where we are today. We didn't just arrive. We didn't just come out of the sky and pop out. No. We came from families who blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
And we must not let it go to naught.
Mm-hmm.
So keep the great work and forever grateful. God bless.
Blessings to you
Thank
too,
you
Jackie.
And Jackie reminded us about family, right? And certain family has legacy. And certain family has trends where you can say, hey, you know, these social trends keep on happening again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that she reminded us of that. But I see the phone lines are light up. Everybody wants to engage you. So producer Patch, the call again through again. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
A pleasant good morning, Mr. C.A. Nuri.
Go ahead, Sparky.
And a pleasant good morning to the beautiful Ms. Barbara Wilson.
Good morning, Sparky.
Hello.
We're here, go ahead.
I couldn't hear her.
She said good day, go ahead.
All right. I'd like to thank Ms. Wilson on behalf of my family, Mrs. C.A. Nuri. She did a trace of my mother, and she found some things out about my mother that I didn't even know. I don't know how she did it. She went down my grandfather and my grandmother's on both sides. She traced my mother's mother, Ida DePuch, back to Mr. Leon DePuch. And Ida DePuch and Leon DePuch started the Tribune, the Nassau Tribune. You know that, Mrs. Nuri?
Okay, yeah, man.
My mother, she went back to my mother, and she found out by proof that I've been saying this a long time ago, that my mother was instrumental in starting the Valley Boys Shunkana Group by a gift she got from Mr. A.B. Malcolm on Bay Street of 16 pounds, a box of cowbells, and a box of whistles. She found out all the history about my mother's family, all the brothers and the sisters. She found out about the last sister, which was the baby sister, Aunt Ruth, who was either murdered or committed suicide. Nobody found that out yet. And she came all the way back to me And my voice going out with the Valley Voice at the age of 7 years old. I would like to thank that lady so much that she started something in the Valley Voice. That this year, the Valley Voice is about to celebrate 65 years of Junkanoo on Bay Street with all the Gus Cooper. She named all the original members of the Valley Boys group, including Gully Enos, Kip Pinder, Doyle Burrs, Perry Christie, you name it, she put all in the video. I also saw the other day she did a history of our cousin of ours, Phil Antonio. Mr. Sear, do you know Phil Antonio who used to teach people how to drive?
Yes, I do know.
You ever heard about him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's my brother, that's my father's cousin, Phil Antonio, and his sister. I think he's 102 years old now, mm-hmm. living in Dean's Lane off of Nassau Street. And she got more history than I can even record right now on this radio. Miss Barbara Wilson, Sparky, personally thank you on behalf of the Fountain family and my family.
My pleasure,
Thank you
Sparky.
Very much, ma'am.
That's very nice, Sparky. Let's engage some more people before I engage again, Miss Wilson. Go ahead, producer Patrick, call through again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call again once. Call again twice. Go to the next one, producer. Go ahead. You're on live.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am good. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you.
I'm listening to Miss Wilson. Does she take any time out to go to the family islands? Like, because you know there's a lot of persons who might not hear your show.
Everybody listens to C.A. Neary. You know that.
Huh?
Everybody listens to me. So definitely they'll hear
about
it now.
Hey, listen, I forget. Listen, everybody listens to you. They love your show, and they love it with you and Aaron. I'm surprised Aaron is not there today.
She ran outside in Ginep. I mean, well, that's Tamarind. What it is?
I was going to mention the fact that I feel like she should have gotten an interview mm-hmm. with Mrs. Sparky. Because when he calls in, he seemed to be a historian on his very own.
Mm.
I love to hear him talk about the graves and these little underground things and all these other stuff here and there. I think she should talk to him about it. He called just before me, but that's the reason for me calling. I was going to recommend that she reached out to him or somebody reached out to him and tell him, talk with her. Get down. He said she got his mother. She needs to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he on his very own is a historian, mm-hmm. you know. Because, I mean, I have families that I'm sorry I didn't get caught up at her before my father died. Because he had some stories that I would have loved to be able to sit down and go over later.
Yes, and to address your mention about the family islands, for me to start doing that, I guess I will have to start charging because that would cost some money. You know, what I do now, I do from Nassau. But I have considered that, and I think that there's much information to gain. I've thought about, you know, Cat Island and Long Island and, you know, all of the other Cricket Island, which is my roots, Bimini, and it would be nice to be able to travel. And there are many people out there that are well on in age that can give me details about the Bahamas.
Don't forget Rugged Island.
Yes.
And please, in the name of Jesus, don't forget Andhra.
Back in the day. Yes.
Let's say how there was no bridge. You had to use the boat to cross. I hear my Grammy say these things. So, you know, there's a lot of old people on those islands
yes.
that will have a lot of history
mm-hmm.
in them that I think would do good to have recorded. Like I say, let them sign off on it one time. Ask their permission to be able to air it from time to time on TV.
I agree with you. I have to work on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I see we have one more caller before I go back to you, Ms. Wilson. Patrick's calling first before we go on the break. Yeah, please. And we'll go on the break at the 45-minute mark. You want to go on the break now? Okay, we'll go on the break now and let the caller hold, and then we'll go continue later. Guided Radio on the AM with C.A. Neary. We're going to take this break here. Caller, hold on, and we'll be right back.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer.
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious boy, this real serious boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkanoo.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Bahamas there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I prepared for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas games come in July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I see we have a caller there who's been patiently waiting. Let's pass that caller through, then we go continue our interview with Barbara Wilson. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? Caller going once. Caller going twice.
So hi, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning to you, sir. Good morning to your guest, Ms. Wilson, and good morning to 242.
Good morning.
I say, I guess you could say as a fellow Bahamian, I love to hear about our history. There's a lot of things in our history that's not written. So when we hear about it from an ancestry perspective, it gives us a lot more information. I have watched Ms. Wilson's documentary on the Collins Wall. And as somebody who grew up off of Wolf Road, I found more information than I ever saw in any book. And it was astonishing. So I think what she's doing is awesome. I'm a reader, but I wouldn't make time to read every information I got. So what I think what she's doing by videography is awesome. And this time we're living in, it's like a book. It's going to suspend time itself, and it's going to go on. I wouldn't have found it if I didn't watch it. So I personally have to tilt my hat off to Ms. Wilson and what she's doing. I think it's awesome, and I think she needs to keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carla, and thank you for bringing up that video. It's actually one of my favorite ones, the Collins Wall. I actually found out very interesting facts that I never knew myself. And there's very little out there that you can find out about the Collins Wall.
I walked that wall as a child growing up, going to and from school. I literally walked on that wall. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you, I did not know the history I was walking on until I watched your video. As an adult, I grew up in the 70s, and I found out in the 2000s, what I found out from you is something I never heard. So, again, I really would like to say, I think what you're doing, me being an amateur historian, I think it's awesome. It's wonderful. And, again, I take my hat off to you, and I say, you know, even though you're doing it free, the government needs to recognize it, you know, give you some kind of grant because you're helping the Bahamas in the whole.
Sounds good to me. And
you all have yourself a wonderful day. And you're doing good work, Mr. Nuri. Listening to you every day is always informative, sir.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And I'm glad the caller mentioned Collins Wall, because that's my first one I watched, your mm-hmm. first video I watched with you. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was arguing while I was watching it over the facts, say, oh, that's not true. Where she get that information from? But like the caller said, a lot of Bahamians did not know the history of Collins Wall. Mm-hmm. And I right here, when I first invited you, I was talking about just Bahamian families. But you do history of the Bahamas, too, in mm-hmm. terms of stories that is worth mentioning and worth investigating and help and interviewing people who live mm-hmm. in that generation. So I wanted to commend you for that too.
Thank you.
I see, since we've been here, my family, the extended family of the Hannah Hasty Times already say, man, they want you to do an entire series. So they're reaching out to record their senior relatives to do that. So mm-hmm. I'm excited about that possibilities. And I know my aunt Jackie called earlier and was talking about her family, the Popels, mm-hmm. right? And you did the interview in that. Yes. How was that interview? How did they call you? What did you glean from ordinary stories? Because I know Mrs. Popel, mm-hmm. Who married a West Indian, mm-hmm. right? And leading bacon to the Bahamas.
Right.
I know her for her cakes. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you were able to sit with her, mm-hmm. to get that information, I want to just briefly go over that.
Well, that interview was actually different. It was different, more different than any that I'd done, because it was actually a family who have dedicated their families and their lives to coming together, to having gatherings of the family, to getting their family tree arranged and organized. And so they are deep in this stuff, you know. And it was two cousins that sat and was able to really talk about generations. Not, you know, most people remember their grandmother on their great-grandmother, maybe, but they went all the way back something like four or five generations.
Wow.
You know, and they had all of the details laid out. The family tree was just awesomely put together, and she was very passionate, Jackie was, about she and Ingrid, her cousin, about the details about their great-great-great grandmother, I think it was, if not great-great-great-great grandmother, who was, I mean, a powerhouse that came from the Berry Islands. You know, this woman was she was born into slavery, and bought her own freedom. Didn't wait for emancipation.
Nice.
Bought her own freedom. What was her name? My memory is so terrible.
You know, as you look for that, so families as a unit can approach you and bring their family tree, especially like different cousins or whatever it is, and tell a narrative of their surname.
Right.
Like they have the House of Collies who are doing their family tree, and they have different branches. They could come to you and then express their story as a grouping.
Right.
Right.
Agnes and Charles Johnson was actually Agnes Johnson was the name of their ancestor. And she was extremely powerful. This woman, she entertained pirates. Apparently she cooked for pirates. And she would hear them talking about buying property or buying keys. She got them drunk, got on a boat, rowed to Nassau in infested, shark-infested waters, and purchased the properties herself with the coins that she had saved.
Look at that.
Yes. And then in addition to that, she built her own school. She built a church. She saw that her children were educated. And she literally saw to it that she had a will. I mean, we're talking decades ago. This woman got a will and got it registered. The will has been probated. They own something like 20 keys down in the Berry Islands because of this one powerful woman to be, she was a force to be reckoned with.
And surely ancestors like that needs to be heralded.
Yes.
You say the name over and over again because they mean a lot to the family.
Right. Yeah, they do. And she meant a lot to that family, and they are determined that her legacy never dies. She and her husband, Charles.
I would love to read that or get access to that. But if you have another caller here, producer patch that caller through there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Mr. Nuri, on College Wall, sorry to call back. Do you know that the actual building in which the college was named Centerville? The house was named Centerville. You could go out on the front gate, the western front gate by the Tribune, and on that gate you would see the word Centerville made in steel. It still stands real right now today. People walk and drive past that every day. And when I tell people that, see where the word Centerville comes from, see it there? They don't believe it. The actual correct spelling of Centerville. Some people spell it C-E-N-T-R-E. Some people spell it C-E-N-T-E-R. But the actual spelling of Centerville is right there on the western steel gate, opposite that same house, what we call Collins House. The area then was named Centerville. And then there's Collins Avenue. Collins Avenue that goes over the hill and down the Wood Road, that was named after Mr. Collins, who owned the house.
Yeah, and I'm sure Miss Wilson went over all of that. And when she did her documentary on that. I have another text here, Ms. Wilson, saying that, where can I watch Ms. Wilson videos?
On YouTube or Facebook, Bahamian Heritage Series. If you just type it in the search, it'll come up in Facebook or YouTube.
Okay. So I want to talk about the process of you getting it on TV. Because I've seen it on ZNS. I'm sure it's ZNS.
No, actually,
I saw it on TV.
It was actually JCN.
Okay.
I find they tend to do a lot of documentaries, and I have a friend who works there, so it was easy for me to just ask, well, can I do it, and how much would it cost, and they put it on. It was just a matter of telling them that I'd like it to be aired, and they gave me a fee, and they aired it, and in fact, I paid to have it aired once or twice, but they did it numerous times in most of the cases. I did one on the very well-known Pro Pinder, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an attorney. He is an attorney.
Pro Pinder, yes. When he went to the States at school. Mm-hmm. And I
would love to interview him again because he talked more about his family history and his early days. Mm-hmm. But he had a very, very colorful, I mean, you know, law practice, and everybody knew who Dr. Godfrey Pro Pinder was. So I'm hoping that I can get to interview him again so I could learn more about what he must have a wealth of history. You know, about his work here in the Bahamas. But persons like him, I mean, I also interviewed the past Prime Minister, Honorable Dr. Hubert A. Minnis. He talked about his family history. And I learned, even though I've worked with him for many years, even as a nurse, and then after he got into politics, I never knew things about him that he actually told me during the interview, you know, talking about his family.
You interviewed Hubert Minnis?
Yep.
Look at you. I didn't see that one.
Yes. Yeah, it's on there.
Okay, I got to look for that Hubert Minnis one.
Yes, it was interesting. I even videoed the area that he grew up in on Hospital Lane. It was really interesting, you know. Okay. Yeah.
I got to go on YouTube and look for that. Mm-hmm. I have this, this texter said, man, he's willing to fund you going to the family island if whatever you take vacation. And just all expense paid, you live there and just interview elders inside the community. So there are people who are interested.
Oh, that would be nice. Will,
so let's talk about contacting you before I forget that and continue the interview. How does one contact you?
It's easy.
If they want their family members and relatives, or if they need assistance on recording themselves.
They can call me or WhatsApp me anytime on my cell phone, and the number is 457-3188.
Do that again.
457-3188.
And you mentioned that the videos, I always call it movies, the videos is aired on YouTube and on Facebook, social media, right? What is it there?
Bahamian Heritage Series. Just type in Bahamian Heritage Series and you will see it come up, usually very easily, on either Facebook or YouTube.
I see this texter is asking if you interviewed any Gomez, because Gomez own a couple of keys in the Barrie Islands. So they're giving you work and assignment to do.
Yeah.
And I'm related to the Francis, right? And they're doing their family reunion this year, right? And they tell stories about owning one of the first hotels in the Bahamas. And they also tell stories about being, bootleggers, right? And you hear stories about the Simonettes being bootleggers and getting their wealth, right, from Pop Simonette. But they tell a story of black bootleggers in the Bahamas. And this is where you come in and narrating these stories, because there's so much stories here in the Bahamas that is being untold,
right? Yeah.
And you tend to capture that and retell the story in a narrative. Right. Where Bahamians celebrate now.
And we have to hurry up, you know. People dying, and there's so much information in people's brains. You have people that are 80, 90, you know, some even over 100, like my cousins that I did, the Antonios. And I mean, their minds were sharp. There was nothing they could not remember about their childhood, about their adult life, or about what's happening now. And so we have to, you know, I've spoken to people and just encourage them. Let me know when I could come and interview your father, your mother, whoever it is, because these stories are being lost. Very often they're not written down. And then when we do finally do some research, sometimes we find bits and pieces, but can't put it together. And sometimes it's incorrect because the information didn't come from, quote unquote, the horse's mouth. So we have to, you know, I'm not a fan of doing research. I said I'm not a historian, but I am certainly more than willing to get the story from those who have it in their minds and who know what the story was back then.
You tell about not being a historian, even though you do research and find these information. I want to ask this, right? The earlier caller said that their loved ones, their mom and dad has already transitioned, right? And they are concerned with that knowledge gone, right? It's lost for eternity. But can you interview the descendants and create a narrative based on their memory of their loved
ones? Yes, and that has happened depending on what they can remember, because, you know, most people would have told their stories. I actually did a story recently, Sensei Kermit Ford. I haven't released it yet because I was asked to do it specifically for someone, and I'm not sure what they plan to do before I release it. But I spoke with his son. And his son, I interviewed him over the phone, and he gave me tons of information about his father, his history, his music background, his karate background. You know, he was the first person to start the profession of karate in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And he started a very popular band back in the day. So he knew a lot of things about his father that nobody else could have told me. So if their parents or grandparents had, and most of them do, tell stories. Anyone that can remember them, I can always hear the story and then, you know, reproduce it with a narrative and any videos or pictures that may still exist about the person.
A generation ago, the Bahamas is known for its narratives. We were storytellers. Mm-hmm. Not so much as now, but a part of our history. Yeah, we have a history of storytellers, and you are a storyteller. I think the Africans call her griot, right? Mm-hmm. The storyteller, right? I've just gone blank, but I wanted to know what type of information, if I'm starting from scratch, do I need to collect beforehand to say, okay, Ms. Wilson, come now. I have this information. Mm-hmm. Let's start this program.
Well, usually, obviously, I need to know the person's name, hopefully their full name, because, you know, we got a lot of people with the same names in this country.
So I need to know the person's name, first, middle, last name, right? Date of birth.
Their date of birth, who their parents were, if they know that, their parents' first, middle, and last name, their age, well, the date of birth would tell the age, where they were born. Because that's another thing. Because, again, we have so many people with the same name. Where they were born helps. Very often, you know, they could tell you, and this is what I would ask, how far back can you go? Grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and where each single one of them came from. Usually, in addition to that, I would ask questions about their siblings, the person's father, mother, cousins, aunts, uncles, anything that you would have about persons who are connected to the person would help to kind of connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And then once I get all of the family information that I could get, then I like to branch off into things like where they were born and what were the circumstances. Is the house still there? Do you have a photograph of the house? You know, who were the neighbors at the time? Because very often you can connect dots too by who the person was associated with. What school did they go to? What did they do afterward? What type of work did they do? And, you know, that's one of the questions that I ask. I find for older people, most people were farmers back on the family islands. And it's so interesting because hardly anybody's a farmer nowadays, but they literally fed themselves, which means that it can be done. You know, so basically as much information as they have is what I get. And then any photographs, you know, any videos, any information that they have that could be put together to help create a history of the person that can last for a lifetime.
You know what I find missing in the Bahamian narrative? Interviews, stories about being on the contract. Mm-hmm. I know one was done, but I talk about intimate stories about Bahamians who were in the majority in their home country, the Bahamas, right? Going to the south to pick oranges, then going up north into Minnesota to pick fruits. What was their way of life living in the United States in contrast, especially coming from a family island where it was out rural poor, right? There's not enough stories about that.
My father was one of them.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Of course you record your father.
He talked a little bit about being on the contract when I did his interview.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the next question I wanted to ask you is, can you name some names of people who you've interviewed thus far so I can go and search them for them on YouTube?
Okay. I did Hortense Harris Smith. She's 90 years old now. There was Sylvia Adams Smith. She is also in her 90s. There was, I mentioned already, Dr. Godfrey Propinder. Pastor Neville Scavala of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He passed away recently. I also interviewed Dr. Kenneth Allen, or Aline. He grew up to Ross Corner. I interviewed Priscilla Rollins, who happens to be my mother's first cousin.
Nice.
Yes. Then there was Glenroy Flo Saunders. He was an athlete back in his day. Mrs. Naomi Monker. She's 81 years old from Long Island. She's probably 82 by now. I stopped along the road one day in the line of the light and looked over to my right on Wolf Road and saw this store, Sydney's Record Shop.
Yes.
Outside the store was pictures of 45s and...
Yes, these small records.
Yes. Mm. And there was a bicycle leaning up against the store, and I swear I thought I was back in 1960.
Mm.
And I said, I have to go in there and interview this guy. And it was just a really... And that was one of my favorite interviews. And the video, too. Mr. Sidney Stubbs of Sidney's Record Shop. That's on there as well. Of course, I mentioned my boss, Mr. Godfrey Thomas. And then what about Conliff's Bakery? Anybody remember Conliff's Bakery?
Yeah, let's come
well,
back
I interviewed her husband recently, Mr. Andrew Conliff. He was born in 1937, grew up on Ross Corner. He was 17 years old when he owned his first property.
Really?
He got property at 17 years old, you know. And the story was really an interesting one. Unfortunately, he suffered a stroke recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's in hospital now. He was a very good friend of my mother. And I am so happy I did the interview. He cannot even talk right now.
Yes. So this shows how important recording and documenting these videos now, you know. So if you want to have your loved ones recorded, right? Mm-hmm. If your family is having a reunion and want to have a group recording, you can contact Ms. Wilson and she'll work with you in terms of creating or helping you craft your own documentary or family history. But like I said, getting about four or five texts of people who want to fly you out to the family islands, and they'll pay all the Airbnb that you stay there, and then have you record their loved ones. Is such a thing possible? I mean, I know how your vacation is, but I mean, you could plan and strategize.
I'm pretty flexible.
My holiday soon
we
come
work,
up.
We could work something out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just do a donation and let you come.
I also did one on Guy Fawkes. I don't know if you ever saw that stuffed Guy Fawkes on Wolf Road outside somebody's house.
Near it to Wolf Road and Tim Barnabas.
Yes.
See, I just watch things though.
I saw it one day.
I always thought it was the Obia doll, but you call it a Guy Fawkes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I actually parked across the street and walked over, and I asked the guy about it, and he started to tell me the history of Guy Fawkes. Now, of course, we all have this thing in our mind, but there was way more to the story than I'd ever known.
Mm-hmm.
So once he talked to me, I went and I looked up some stuff, and I just did a brief, and it happened to be Guy Fawkes that night, you know? So little things that are, you know, specific to maybe the Commonwealth, to the Caribbean, to the Bahamas, I just caught on to it and did a little spiel on it. You know, it was very short. I don't keep it long. I did a little something on the Queen's Staircase, of course, the old Collins Wall, the Guy Fawkes. I even did the day the power went out with Reverend Basil Johnson. He actually picked up a piece of the mace as it was thrown out by Sir Lyndon Pinling and took it across over the hill.
So he has a piece of the mace still?
Well, I think he gave it back.
No, I wouldn't give that back. I don't know. We're about to end right now. I see I have about a minute and a half, right? I want to thank you for coming on. I just want to know how to contact you again.
The number is 457-3188.
And what is the name of your program again?
Bahamian Heritage Series on YouTube and Facebook.
Okay. And a point of interest I want you to investigate and do a story on. That time the coconut tree came alive on Collins Avenue.
That sounds like voodoo.
I need you to do a story and interview. I know Sparky knew the story. So I need you to interview some people on that and do that narrative about when the coconut tree came alive.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. You know that story, no?
Never heard it.
See? There you go. This has been Guardian Radio with AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much. I'm speaking to Miss Barbara Wilson, who is not a historian, but she's a chronicler, and she records Bahamian stories. Have a wonderful day.